Hi, this is Tony at Cover Magazine. I'm speaking to Andrew Ratliff, the at Private Client Holdings. Andrew, thank you very much for talking to me this morning.
Morning, Tony. Yeah, thanks for the opportunity.
Great. Andrew, first of all, congratulations. I got word that you were named as one of the top 100 global wealth managers by International Advisors. Quite a great accolade, and well done to you and also to Private Client Holdings.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tony. I guess it's incredibly humbling to have been selected as part of a list of these recipients globally.
How do you see that? What does it do for someone like a business like Private Client Holdings, and how do you feel about it personally?
Yeah, well, I guess although personally I've been identified, and as I mentioned, it's incredibly humbling, and I guess I'm extremely grateful to the team of professionals at Private Client Holdings who've allowed me to be recognized in this way for the work that we've done in wealth management over the years. International Advisor recognized Private Client Holdings, when we were awarded with the best practice or best advisor practice in South Africa a few years back. And on that occasion, we had to submit entries, and those awards were run around the world in different regions. And so I guess that's how we got onto their radar in the first place. However, this particular accolade was not an award that we entered, but rather was based purely on the independent research of all the wealth management companies that they investigate globally. And from those interactions, that they selected a list of recipients. I guess it's quite amazing to think of it in that context. And, Private Client Holdings is one of the few FPI professional practices recognized by the Financial Planning Institute in South Africa. And last year, we ranked second in the SA Top Wealth Manager Boutique category at the Intellidex Awards, which measure top private banks and wealth managers. And so that too was a fantastic achievement.
Yeah, because it's about business as a whole. I mean, not to make less of the award to you, but you obviously have to depend a lot on your structures within your business, the professionality of the people around you, et cetera. So it's a holistic approach from your side to be able to be a professional wealth manager.
That's right. So, I guess, as I mentioned, it's great affirmation, that we believe in what we're doing at PCH is right, not just for our clients, I guess, but in a global context. So we spend many years refining our global, our goal-based approach to wealth management, and all those supporting processes like our investment philosophy. And so it just reinforces that we're on the right path. And, in particular, our philosophy is firstly to be mindful of the people who we serve, which is crucial during these sort of times. It's based on independent rational thinking and diversification, in order to generate long-term value for our clients. And so, I guess it validates our input over the last 25 years and the hard work and commitment, which is a great feeling. And, we're celebrating our 30th year in business. So this sort of accolade is welcome. And,
Just to come down to the basics, what really makes a wealth manager, and then what would make that wealth manager a professional wealth manager? How would you, can you actually distinguish between being a wealth manager and being a professional wealth manager, or is it just sort of how well you're doing what you're doing?
Thanks, Teddy. I guess To be a professional wealth manager is someone who, I guess, you first of all need to be appropriately qualified and have the relevant experience, and be a member of appropriate professional bodies. I think we all agree the wealth management is an extremely vast subject and can be humbling at the best of times. So experience in accounting, tax, fiduciary matters, you know, asset management is essential in order to become, I think, an all-rounded professional wealth manager. You know, taking a more of a holistic approach and being mindful of both local and international planning issues, given that we live in a global village. And I think crucially to take an advice-driven approach and steer clear from, you know, the old school product sale type techniques. And then as an individual, I guess, you know, it's crucial to you know, be authentic and be genuinely interested and understand your client's needs. And at all times, you know, be reliable and try to connect emotionally with clients at all times. And I guess work with as much passion and enthusiasm as possible. You know, at Private Client Holdings, you know, in terms of acting as a professional wealth manager, our guys follow what we call a goal-based approach to wealth management. And the first step in that process is to listen very, very closely to what our clients' needs, wants, hopes, dreams, objectives, and as well as what their fears might be, and then try and translate those into tangible goals with appropriate risk metrics. And based on these goals, one would then need to unpack the probability of success of achieving those goals, and then monitor the progress towards achieving those goals. So, you know, I guess essentially as a professional wealth manager, we would also like to act as sort of a chief financial officer to high net worth families and act as that custodian to their wealth.
Yes, yeah. And that's where the trust comes in so big time. In closing, maybe you can just sort of tell us a little bit, if I can put you on the spot, to say sort of three must-dos for advisors during this turbulent times that we're experiencing now. What would you say they should focus on, if you could mention three things?
Yeah. And number one priority, I guess, for advisors or wealth managers is to sustain investor confidence and ensure the retention of their clients and business survival. So what I would say is to absolutely stick to your core values. You know, at Private Client Holdings, we have three core values, which are professional, trust, and client centricity. And importantly, remain true to your wealth management process and philosophy. So, in other words, it should be a business as usual, but in so doing, apply, you know, behavioral finance techniques and try and understand the effects of the emotions which your clients are going through in these uncertain times, and in encourage them to stay the course and anchor them back to their wealth management strategy. You know, in 2008, there was the global financial crisis. Now it's COVID-19. And consequently, you know, there's been huge amounts of market volatility, which has amplified the need for a goal-based approach to wealth management. So that would be my number one of the must-dos. And then secondly, I would say communication, Tony, is you know, just increase those client interventions, you know, and where necessary, go out of your way to engage at a higher level with clients, whether it be virtual meetings, online client seminars, you know, just even a good old telephone call is not a bad idea. You know, newsletters, market updates, and just showing clients that you're present, given the speed at which information is and the pace at which information is flowing. So that communication is crucial. And then I think if you've got staff to check in regularly, ensure that they are supported appropriately and manage their levels of anxiety. You know, everyone reacts differently in these times, and just ensure that the operational efficiencies are there, and then be prepared with a contingency plan, you know, whether A, B or C, should this crisis worsen and, you know, the people within your team are affected from a health perspective. So that's and then a third one, Tony, would be you know, to embrace technology, you know, and use things like digital tools, like, you know, the electronic signatures, and try and move as much into cloud-based applications which can be accessed, I guess, from anywhere in the world. You know, and then if you could provide some sort of consolidated real-time reporting to clients and rather over-provide information to clients than, you know, in order to manage their psychology. So I guess, yeah, those three. And then if I could mention a fourth one, Tony, is, you know, during these times is, I think, a massive need for a change in behavior, you know, given that at the end of the day, the health and safety of one's colleagues as well as staff remain the number one priority. And so, you know, we need to remain vigilant and apply, you know, practice good hygiene, because I guess we are as strong as our weakest link. And, you know, if you get people back into the office and, you know, there's a positive case, we're going to be back into 14 days of self-isolation, which is not good for business. So I'd say those three things, as well as then, you know, a fourth thing around changing our own behavior.
Yes, yeah, significant. Yeah. Andrew, thanks so much. I wish you really good luck with, you know, the going back to the office and this changing time. And then also, as you said, managing clients' anxieties and maintaining that security for them. So, yeah, great stuff. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you very much for that advice for our audience.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, Tony.